scripture comes from Isaiah 25, verses 6 through 10. On this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats and the finest of wines. On this mountain, he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all peoples, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove his people's disgrace from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. In that day, they will say, "Surely this is our God. We trusted in him, and he saved us. This is the Lord. We trusted in him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. The hand of the Lord will rest on this mountain." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Right. Today, we're talking about saints, and my message title is called Feasting with the Saints, since we are feasting together here at the table of the Lord, as we do every first Sunday of the month. As I thought about saints and that word, it reminded me of a story. I don't know if it's true or not, but it's a story about two brothers from a particular town who were involved in all kinds of corrupt and illegal activity. It was rumored these brothers even had connections to organized crime. I'm fading in and out here. I don't know what's going on. Whatever the case, both brothers became very rich, even though it was by illegal means. Now, there wasn't a lot of sorrow in the town when the older brother died suddenly. Nevertheless, the younger brother wanted to go ahead with a funeral and started planning it to pay tribute to his older brother. The problem was finding a minister who was willing to do this guy's funeral. The younger brother was aware, however, he was no dummy, he was aware that there was a church down the street that was in the midst of a capital campaign and they needed money. So he went to the pastor and talked to him about him doing the funeral. He says, Reverend, says, "I know my brother and I never attended your church. In fact, we never attended any church. I also know that you've probably heard a lot of bad things about my brother and I, this being a small town and all." I'm going to switch off to the handheld. Todd?
Very good. "This being a small town and all, and I'd like you to do my brother's funeral. And if you'll say that he was a saint, I'll write you a check right here, right now, for $50,000. That'll go a long way, won't it, to fix your church?" Well, the pastor thought about it for about 30 seconds and agreed to do the service on one condition, that the $50 check be written right then, right there, on the spot. And he did. Brother wrote him a check. Well, the day of the funeral came. The church was packed, not because they cared anything for the scoundrel, but they wanted to hear what in the world the preacher could say about this guy. The rest of the crowd was made up of mobsters, drug dealers, and some young ladies that the brothers had associated with. Service began with the usual songs and scriptures and readings and hymns and prayers, and then came the sermon. The minister started out very slowly, and then he went off on a list of all the horrible things the man had done. How he'd been selfish and greedy and corrupt and cared about no one but himself, carousing with women, drinking excessively, and on and on and on he went on about this guy. Well, the younger brother was sitting there on the front row of the pews, getting madder by the minute because the preacher was not keeping his end of the deal. But during the service, there wasn't a whole lot he could do. The place was packed with hundreds of people. There wasn't anything he could do. He was just hoping and praying that the guy would keep his promise, the pastor. Finally, after about 10 minutes of ranting on about the rich man's shortcomings, the minister concluded his sermon in a booming voice. "Yes, my friends, this man was a no-good, dirty, rotten scoundrel. But compared to his brother, he was a saint."
Yeah.
Well, what do you think of when you hear the word saint used in the church or anywhere, really? Well, most people think of the apostles, St. James, St. John, St. Matthew, St. Luke,
so forth and so on. If you're Catholic in background, or you grew up in the Catholic or Orthodox Church, you probably have heard the names of St. Francis of Assisi. You've heard of St. Patrick, St. Anthony, St. Gregory, St. Ignatius of Loyola, and all those wonderful saints of the Catholic Church. You see, in the Catholic and the Orthodox traditions, these are human beings who have been venerated. That's the word that is used, venerated as saints, which are people of faith who have been found faithful and have had vision and moral integrity. They've been examined by the church and found worthy of sainthood. They're usually people who have been dead for a very long time, but have been judged worthy to advance the cause of Christ throughout the world. They're people who are worthy of imitation and praise by both the church and popular opinion, fellow believers. But we're not Catholic, are we? We're not Orthodox. We are Protestant Christians. So why do we celebrate All Saints Sunday every first Sunday in November every year? Many of you probably have never heard of All Saints Sunday in the church, particularly if you're used to coming to contemporary worship or have not been affiliated with the Methodist Church that long. Well, in the Methodist Church and many other denominations, not much is said about All Saints Day except this first Sunday of November. It's interesting, though, that All Saints Day is actually the day after Halloween. Thursday was All Saints Day, the Feast of All Saints, which many churches have a church service on that day, even Protestant churches. It's interesting that All Saints follows the celebration of witches and ghouls and goblins and things related to the dead, things that we really don't need to really pay that much attention to. Halloween even got its name from the original name for All Saints Day, which was All Hallows Eve. All Hallows Eve. All Hallows Eve. Halloween. Halloween. See how it kind of got blended, contracted over time. It actually came from the religious celebration of All Hallows Eve. So what is a saint? What is a saint? Well, the word saint comes from the Latin word sanctus. Sanctus, which means holy, sanctified, or set apart. The Apostle Paul referred to all believers in the church as saints. He began many of his letters with words like, "To all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints." Or, "To the church which is in Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints." Or, "To the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus." You see, saints for Protestants is every believer. Ordinary people just like you and me. People who believe in Jesus Christ, who follow Jesus Christ, who are involved in ministry in the church, who have accepted God's gracious invitation to salvation, to forgiveness, to eternal life. Those who want to live differently than the world because they believe in Jesus Christ and they want to live for Him instead of for themselves. Saints are ordinary people who want to share the extraordinary love of God with the world. And that should be us, shouldn't it? That is us. So doesn't it make sense that we would pause one Sunday a year, gathered around the Lord's table, to remember some saints from Bethel who are no longer with us, who have died in the past year? These saints have gone on ahead of us to be a part of that heavenly choir. You heard some good choir music and good singing last Sunday. Can you imagine what it's going to be like in heaven when we see all those saints gathered around the throne, singing and praising God with hallelujahs? That communion of saints that we refer to in the Apostles' Creed, that great cloud of witnesses in heaven cheering us on from on high. Shouldn't we take time each year to remember these folks and to thank God for their witness and their faith? I do. And doesn't it also make sense to pause
in our personal devotion time and personal worship, to thank God for all the saints still living with us. Those people in our lives who have touched our lives and those who have showed us the way of Christ in a special way. Take a minute or two this morning and think about someone or some people in your life who have touched your life. The people who have inspired you in your faith. The people who helped you grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ. It may have been a Sunday school teacher. It may have been a grandparent, a mom or a dad, an aunt or an uncle. It may have been a beloved pastor that led you to the Lord or helped you grow in your faith. Maybe it was somebody you met on a walk to Emmaus weekend or other spiritual retreat. Maybe it's someone you know who not only talks the talk, but walks the walk as well. Personally, right now, I'm thinking of two people specifically. There's a man in Shelbyville named Charlie Hamlin. I'm sure nobody here knows Charlie, but he died several years ago. But Charlie Hamlin was what I would call a lay leader in the church that we attended. And he would pick us kids up when mom or dad couldn't take us to church. And he would call and say, "Do you need a ride to church?" And he'd pick all three of us kids up and take us to the Assembly of God Church there in Shelbyville. I'm thinking of a lady named Becky Smith from Shelbyville. Some of you may remember Becky. They had Smith Apparel in Shelbyville. Becky was a mentor to Pat and I when we joined Salem Church and took us under her wing and just loved us into the kingdom of God and was just a special lady to us in our faith. I'm also thinking of a bunch of guys, many of them Gideons, like Don Mitchell over here and Charlie Joseph, who met on Thursday mornings, every Thursday at 6:30. I said 6:30 in the morning for breakfast. Those guys met faithfully. They had been meeting when I left them 40 years, and they're still meeting today. Those guys inspired me and helped me in my Christian walk, and one of the reasons I'm here today as your pastor. I'm sure that you have somebody in your life like that. Saints are ordinary people, folks. They're not people we see in stained glass. They're not necessarily people that are venerated. They're people like you and I. I'm thinking of some saints right here today in this room. I'm looking at St. Cindy right here. Or St. Paul. We got our own St. Paul right over here. How about St. Joyce, St. Allie, St. Bill, St. Cecily, St. Donnie? I could go up and down the aisle. Why? Because you're all saints. You're all saints, little s. Because we are followers of Jesus Christ. Where's St. Florence? Is she still back there? We got to mention St. Florence back there, right? Today, my friends, is a feast day in the church that we call All Saints Sunday. But it's also a day we feast at this banquet table the Lord has prepared and invited us to. It's not a meal of rich meats and fine wine, strained wine, clarified wine that the prophet Isaiah spoke of in the reading that Ray read for us. But it's made up of simple things, ordinary bread and grape juice. Simple things on every table. Today, we feast at the table of the Lord with the Lord as our host. We feast with one another, but we're also feasting with that great cloud of witnesses, those who are in heaven cheering us on. We feast with those we remember today during our communion service, who are no longer able to come forward at these communion stations physically and take the bread and the cup themselves with us, but who've gone on to glory in anticipation of that great heavenly banquet that we will all be feasting at, that Isaiah speaks of in the scripture that we read for you today. In Christ, we have become saints ourselves. In Christ, we have the hope of eternal life like the saints in your bulletin today. In Christ, we are forgiven our sins and given the hope of heaven. And our names are written on the palm of God's hands. That's the good news today, saints of God, saints of Bethel. Let us feast today knowing that the same God who has provided everything that we've ever needed or ever will need, the same God who loves us and cares for us and sent his son to die for us is the God who has invited you here today and is with us at this table. Thanks be to God for his incredible, extraordinary, outrageous love.